How do we enter? How do you start a podcast?
Check.
Oh, yeah. That's going to work great.
I don't want you to be anything other than a prison guard's son. I don't need to be anything other than a specialist.
Okay, so we're on episode 2 of both One Tree Will and One Tree Hill.
The places you have come to fear the most. Episode title.
Wow. Thank you so much. I did not write that one down, and that's incredible.
For all you return listeners, first of all, thanks for coming back and for episode 2.
Hey, I really think it's only uphill from here, only up One Tree Hill from here.
That means it's harder.
We're figuring it out. Oh, shit.
Or no, it's getting better. It's all uphill. It gets better.
You're right. It gets worse. It's all downhill from here. I think it's all going to get better from here.
Yeah. But I think...
because we're figuring it out.
Yeah.
We're figuring out how we possibly spend a whole hour recapping a 45-minute long. Somehow this is longer, but, you know, we love it.
Just a warning. I'm in a squeaky chair. All right. Take it away, Abby.
Great. Okay. We're on episode 2 after the pilot. Which is always fun to kind of see. And recommend going
and
checking
it out.
All
you TV show watchers out there.
You know what it is. It's a classic second ep. Should we give a quick previously on or just move? We should just move forward.
I like to imagine that people are watching this along with us. And so they probably have just watched the previously on and then are going to try and listen to the podcast in real time.
In real time. That's
and like pausing that's it pretty the right frequently. Right.
We cannot emphasize enough how that is the correct way to listen to our podcast.
We're slowly building canon, but canon is listening to the podcast while you goes really well with like if you bought the season on Amazon and you're using the trivia function and you want to know what other shows has this actor been in, what else have they done, where have they gone from here, and then I would recommend taking 2 to 3 hours to watch each episode, I think.
Yeah. Well, I would watch the episode, then listen to the podcast, and then watch the episode while listening to the podcast, then watch the episode on silent while listening to the podcast. But that's our other podcast where we just do the show word for word, where we put on different voices. And we do it, we have to do the Foley of like a basketball bouncing. Will can see this on the webcam, but I'm using my softening foot cream to make the basketball sound. Can you hear it?
And the listeners at home should know that Abby called her phone a webcam.
Oh, yeah, I did. I just have Peyton on the mind. All right, we have to start. Okay, so...
I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. Okay,
it's like Gavin DeGraw is in my room, but on video. All right. So we start where else? On a basketball court. But we're on the basketball court in the park, so Lucas's territory. And
what do we call that world? The park?
The park? Luke's world?
Luke's world.
The lakefront? Okay. Luke's world? Boy meets Luke's world?
Okay, sorry, I interrupted.
Go ahead. No, it's okay. So we're at Boy Meets Luke's World, and the first sounds we hear are, of course, the sounds of basketballs. And the second sound we hear is Mouth, our favorite character, just ad-libbing vague sentences about a sport that the actor clearly knows nothing about. So he's like, come on, yeah, he's almost got it. He's going to – come on, get the ball. And we find out, so Luke is there with all his best buddies, and we find out from them that it's his first real basketball game since joining the high school varsity team, and that they're all going to go there to support him.
First he tries to stop them, but then Skills reminds us that this game is for all of us, which I love. We don't see Skills again for the rest of the episode, but it was such a sweet thing for him to say.
Yeah,
so
but it also put a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
That was not kind. That was pretty, like... hey, you know that thing you're nervous about? You should be, because it's also, like, the stakes include all your best friends.
Well, I wrote down, this game is for all of us, with Skills.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, it felt like, you know, this was a lighter episode for Mouth, which was okay. I enjoyed the time that we had with him.
Yes, as I always do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my favorite characters are definitely all of Luke's friends, and yeah. it was a light episode for his friends.
It was a hard episode. Haley. I mean, Luke really shines in the pilot, but it was he had a hard time of it. The places you have come to fear the most.
And we find out what those places are for sure.
Yeah.
Is it a basketball court? Maybe. So then, so basically like the next few scenes, maybe I'll just like go through them quickly because it's just like a montage of 20 second scenes. It basically goes to like all the people that are going to be at the game. So, you know, like Luke's friends are going to be there. And then Karen, his mom, is at the cafe and Keith, the cafe. Okay, so we go to lots of people. So Karen is not going to the game. She makes an excuse, and Keith really tells her, like, you should come, but, you know. And that's when Haley says some snarky comments. So Haley and Keith go together. And then we also have...
They're snarky comments, but I also wrote down Haley - telling it like it is. She catches us up on all of the reasons why Karen doesn't want to come. It's in a snarky way, but it's also a tremendous amount of exposition that reminds us all of the reasons why it would be horrible for Karen to be there. Yeah.
Like that one line from Haley basically made the pilot completely unnecessary. Because in that one line, she tells us everything that we learned from the pilot that we think now it's like, show, oh, I never need to watch the pilot again.
The show could have opened in darkness. We hear Haley's voice saying that line. We hear the sound of basketballs, Abby.
I don't want to be.
Remind me at the end of this, ask me how I felt about basketball right at the end. But let's keep going for now.
I'm writing it down. I wrote how I felt. Okay. So, and then they're all in the locker room getting ready. And literally the locker room scene is just Nathan and Lucas giving each other really significant looks. That's it. Like various significant looks. Oh, and Tim says something. Oh yeah. Tim calls Luke a bastard spawn.
Tim is the poor man, Zac Efron. He's like a little bit scrunched. I got Tim and Jake mixed up.
Yeah.
But now, yeah, Tim, now I'm back on track. An important thing that we haven't talked about is that to remind us who Luke is, everyone's getting ready in the basketball room, and we do see him slipping a book into the locker, where it's like, remember? This boy loves to read.
He loves to read out loud. Okay, so then after the significant looks are given in that scene, Whitey calls Luke into his office, and he basically gives him like a bit of a pep talk. It's not much. And then he gives him a jersey with the name Scott on the back, which is, that's a loaded prop for sure. Mm-hmm. A lot there. And then
I was sure that Whitey was going to offer him a drink when he walked into the locker room. Just from like the limited amount that I know about Whitey.
As Luke leaves the locker room, this is the one other time we get to see Mouth with Jimmy.
Ravenhoops.com.
And they have t-shirts that say Ravenhoops.com because they've started, just like us, a podcast. But they're not called podcasts yet because this is like 2001.
I'm actually going to check it out. Okay, it's available. So good to know.
And then they're like warming up on the court. So we get to kind of see for the first time everyone in this television show all together in one room other than Karen. And this is so Mouth is giving commentary. And we learn, this is when we like fully realize what happened. So they lost 6 varsity players in the pilot episode, and they solved this problem by just replacing 6 varsity players with Luke. So that's when we find out, like, oh no, he's the only new player on this team. Which, like, they're usually, where there's 5 players playing at any given time. They lost 6 of them. But don't worry, we got Lucas Scott. So this is a moment where you see Dan in the crowd, and that's the father, and he yells out, son. And Nathan and Luke turn around. Though I don't know why Luke turned around. Like, he's never been called son in his life. They both turn around and just have just like this very uncomfortable moment of Luke just like staring at Dan. And then Nathan goes, "You want my world? You got it."
That, wow, goosebumps. That's exactly how it felt.
Thank you.
I thought, yeah, I missed that line. I missed that's what it.
You know what? I think I got it mixed up. I think he goes, line, "You want my world? You got it."
When they're and coming then out of the locker room.
Oh, you're then right.
Yeah.
Crap, I took a bet. Oh, no, no, this one he says, "Son." They both look. Then Nathan throws a basketball at Lucas. Lucas misses.
Yeah.
And then Nathan goes, what is it? Watch, heads up or heads something. Up.
Watch it.
Or hey, like, bub. Look. Hey, start looking for once.
Yeah, I think Nathan is like, hey, butt fingers. He's like, hey, butt fingers.
Hey, butt fingers.
maybe wipe the butt off your fingers.
Yeah, yeah, there's poop on your hands, man.
Yeah.
Don't get poop on my ball.
Yeah. This is my court. I don't know what to make of it. The last time that Nathan had seen, or the last time that Luke saw Dan, Dan was like, should have aborted you. So oh, once again, this was like, yeah, a very loaded scene.
Yeah.
And
then this is
we learn later in the episode that this is when probably Dan casts the spell on Luke.
I just had beer in my mouth and almost.
But I think it's a little unclear how much to read into it, but I'm pretty sure that Dan has cast a spell on Luke at this point.
Oh my God.
So I'll go ahead
tell
and make
me
my,
more about this theory.
I'll make my prediction later, but a lot of the eye contact and just the length of the shots. During the game, we realize that Luke has lost some of his almost superhuman basketball skills. And I think what we'll come to realize is that Dan maybe has some sort of amulet or has sold his spirit. We learn about his final in the when he was in the state championship when he sat on the bench. I think there's some sort of dark magical connection here. But yeah, so basically, I'm not sure how much the show will go into it explicitly, but this is the moment when he says "son." Yeah. That's is clearly like the key word in the spell, and he curses Luke and takes away his powers.
Is there a word that when he says it, it gives his powers back?
I think it's "son" again. I think he says "son" again on accident. I think if when you're watching the episode for the second time, for the third hour of One Tree Hill, you'll notice that he says "son" in the hallway. We'll get to that.
Okay,
no, we'll but it's a very tense scene.
Yeah, I don't think that the magic powers are necessarily explicitly talked about, but I do think that you and I should be on the lookout for more clues in the future. Because that's really important, I think. And then this is when a brand new character comes into the show as if, like, they pretend, they try to trick us into thinking that she was always there.
Brooke.
Yes. Like, she just talks like it's not like, oh, like a new girl. No, she's just always been there, but was definitely not in the pilot. She was at a funeral. She was at a funeral. I forgot. She was at a funeral.
Okay, good.
No, but she was like, she had the flu last week. So she, first impressions of Brooke, she literally says like one sentence, but that's all you need in this show to learn something about someone.
Sophia kills it. Brooke is an incredibly sad character.
Whoa.
It's breaking my heart.
What? Yes, go.
There's a scene later where Peyton is like, "Don't you ever worry about the future?" And Brooke is like, "Yes, I do worry about the future, but then I realize I'll go to college, get in a sorority, and as long as I don't get fat, I'll be able to marry someone rich."
Yeah. And that is 90% of the lines that Brooke says in this episode.
Yeah. But I think she's an important foil to Peyton because we realize that she also is seeing some of these problems. You know, she's a smart kid, I think, but she's not letting it bother her. You know, she's like,
yeah,
Peyton is wrestling with it. You might even say that Peyton is looking for the truth. But
you guys are gonna laugh later. Yeah. We'll explain that joke in about 32 minutes.
But yeah.
Wow. Okay. I really love that interpretation of Brooke. So then we go back
but
to
I
the
do
game.
Love that we see Peyton having a friend. It actually feels really important that she has.
Yeah. I agree. It's nice to see another female face in this show. Mm-hmm. It's another like drop dead beautiful face that like would not be in a high school, but it's nice to have another woman. Mm-hmm. So go back to the game. They start playing and Luke is just playing very, very poorly. Like no redemption here. Just so bad. And he like gets a ball pass to him and just like completely drops it and it almost hits Peyton. And this is when they have this exchange. Do you remember this exchange? Where Peyton says, "Nice hands."
And Luke responds, "Nice legs."
Yeah. So that's supposed to be flirty.
But it's
don't know how I feel about it. Here's the thing. It's really intense. But like somehow I do think that Chad Michael Murray and I never remember her name, the woman who plays Peyton, like they make it not as gross as it could be, but it's pretty gross. We'll let somebody else really pick that one apart.
Here's the thing though, if you'll keep in mind, this is after the curse. So in my interpretation, this is actually after, you know, his greatest fear is that he turns into Dan. I think that line comes from a place of him like
kind of becoming Dan from the curse.
He's becoming a little bit of Dan, yeah.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's like I was saying, we need to pick up clues, and that's a really good clue that he's cursed, because I don't feel like that's a very Lucas thing to say.
Yeah.
But I do think that that's what, in 2002, we called flirting. And they end up winning, and Nathan plays really well, but Luke does not play again. Mm-hmm. And then we go into the theme song, where, like, Sophia Bush is there, and you're like, I literally don't know who this person is. She just had one line about Luke being hot, but I guess she's, like, in the show now. So the scene right after the theme song,
it's a makeout scene.
It's just hot. Peyton and Nathan making out so hard. It is, I guess it's hot. Is that what you think it's hot?
You know how much I love watching makeout scenes.
I didn't until now.
Well, now we all know. But no, I think it's an objectively hot scene. It's pretty hot and heavy. It feels like it could, you know, I don't know. I would even go so far as to call it heavy petting. but then when Nathan starts laughing during the makeout, I thought he was laughing because she was kissing him too hard. My first interpretation of it was like, oh, he's laughing because she's like kissing him too hard.
That would be a way more realistic exchange between two high school students.
Yeah.
I feel like we've both had kissing stories from being teenagers where laughter was like a big part of it.
I've never not laughed.
No, but he's actually laughing because he's mean. He's making out with his girlfriend, and he keeps laughing because he's remembering how bad Luke was at basketball. Of course Peyton is upset about this for multiple reasons that are all messed up. I mean, first of all, it's like, why are you thinking about him right now? You're with me. But also she's like, that's really mean. Like, somebody else's complete humiliation should not be funny to you. And she says all these things to him. He says a lot of pretty heinous things back. And one of them is like, she's
on the tip of his tongue.
He just, like, he has them ready to go.
Yeah.
I do remember. I thought this was kind of funny. It's mean, but it was kind of funny. Where she's like, you're making out with your girlfriend right now, blah, blah. And he just goes, put some ice on it. Everything she says to him about, like, you know, she calls him out on his bullshit, but in the end, he always wins.
We learned this episode that it's not okay.
It's definitely not okay. You guys are going to laugh later. So she gets out of the car and she's like, no, I don't want to. And then he's like, fine. And he throws her pom-poms and her CD at her and drives away, leaving her abandoned in the middle of nowhere. And she is very upset because that CD is an import.
Yeah. Which is really funny to me.
Yeah. I mean, they're just so bad together. But, like, well, it's kind of this question of, like, I mean, the question that goes to Peyton in this episode, which we'll get to, is kind of, like, why are you doing all the things you do when you hate all of it? Like, why are you dating Nathan? Why are you a cheerleader? Like, you are miserable. Why do you keep doing it? But we all do stuff like that all the time. Because quitting is scarier than just doing the thing you're used to. That's what I'll say. Luke is on the basketball court. And not that he's on the Boy Meets Luke's World basketball court.
Mm-hmm. Down by the lakefront.
Lakefront. And there's no hills, I'm realizing. I guess there's the one. We just don't see it yet. That's in the finale. He's missing. He's by himself. So you would think, you know, he's by himself. He's maybe going to, like, be good again. But no, he's missing every single shot. And suddenly, who appears?
Peyton does.
Peyton Sawyer. And she kind of, like, she's trying to, like, console him a bit, but kind of, like, in her own rude way. And at the very end, he just bursts out, "Want a ride?"
It's beautiful, yeah.
It is really beautiful.
Which, you'll remember, is the exact opposite
of
what Nathan
did.
Nathan just kicked her out. Luke is letting her in, you know?
Yeah.
I think we're seeing that duality, too, with Keith and Dan. We're seeing them handle Karen in two totally different ways.
And Lucas, too.
Mm-hmm.
So then Nathan gets home after abandoning his girlfriend on the side of the road, and Dan is studying a tape of the game that he watched 30 minutes before.
Yeah, and quick turnaround.
Yeah. He's like, "Give me that VHS now." So he is watching the game, and Nathan, like, scores. No, Nathan passes to his teammate, and they score a point. So it's, like, well done. But he gets mad. He, like, lectures Nathan because he's like, "You should have shot
28
like,
instead of 30. Yeah,
you should have scored that instead of giving it to your teammate." Which is all you need to know about Dan. So we're back with Peyton and Lucas, and they're, oh my goodness, this is loaded too. Every Peyton and Lucas scene is. Every Pecos scene, every Luton scene is so loaded. So they're back at Peyton's house and they have, I really love this conversation. So they're basically like asking each other, she's like, "Why did you join the team if you're miserable? Like, you don't belong." And he's like, "Well, why do you cheer?" And they're both kind of commiserating over being like outcasts in the world that they chose for themselves. And his answer is for the love of the game. And he wants to see if he's good at it. And Peyton's answer for cheerleading is, she says, "If I say I like," gosh, I love her. She says, "If I say I like it, then I'm just another dumb cheerleader," which, you know, not totally fair to her friend Brooke or her fellow teammates. But but if I say I hate it, I'm either a liar or a fraud. Either way, I lose. And that's the end of that.
Not quite, though. Because then Peyton says, "Do you want to come in?" They're in high school.
Yeah.
Do you want to come up for a cup of tea? It's like,
"Do you want to come watch The Simpsons? I got it on TiVo."
"Hey, do you want to watch Anchorman and maybe hold hands?"
Yeah. "Do you want to put a pillow between the two of us as we watch dodgeball?"
"Do you want to?" Well, very real.
"Hey, do you want to take 8 different things from the fridge, put them in a blender, and dare each other to drink it?"
"I don't want to be any."
Oh, the man, 16 years old for real.
But then he follows her to the door.
Well, she asks him, she says, "Do you want to come in?" Oh, yeah. You already said that. Lol. That's what started this goof. My bad.
She says, "Do you want to come in?"
Yeah.
He says, "What about Nathan?" She says,
"What about Nathan?"
She leaves. He follows her. They get to the door. The automatic light comes on. Yeah. She's like, "What are you doing?"
She also didn't hear him follow her from the door.
So she's like startled. She's like, "What are you doing here?" It's like, "You asked me if I wanted to come in." No, she's like, No. So she's like, so, okay, so go back. So first she's great. Like,
just try it again.
So originally she's like, do you want to come in? And he's like, what? What about Nathan? And she's all like, what about him? And then she goes up to the door and he's like, yeah. What am I going to do? And then he like opens the door and like closes the door and walks up. And then she turns around and she's like, excuse me. And then he's like, you asked me to come in. And then she's like, no, I asked you if you wanted to come in. I mean, whoa.
Let's pick that apart. Who sucks there? Both? Neither?
But he does one of his classic, like.
They can't see that. So Will's like looking off in the distance. He like his head's tilted up a little bit. He's squinting, and then like a tiny little smile and a laugh. So delighted.
That's it. So he does one of those. So he's like,
he like loves it. He's like, oh, she's kind of mean.
Yeah, you really played me.
Yeah, you really manipulated me just then. Hey, you treated me like a toy for a second. That was cute. Yeah, I think like in that, we get it a little bit in the pilot, but I feel like in that scene is the kind of when you're like, oh, the two of them have a lot of similarities. Mm-hmm. And they understand each other in a way that maybe other friends don't. So then Peyton's on her webcam. I love this. She gets a call from Nathan and she answers it and just puts the phone against her speaker that's like blasting emo music. Then he calls again and they have another conversation. It's like the same as all their freaking conversations where he apologizes. And the apology, the words are sincere, but you know that he's just saying, like he's reading a script. Like the words sound sincere, but he's reading the script that he's probably written for months, like the same one. Because like at least he doesn't do the thing where he's like, I'm sorry if you felt this way. Like, he does take responsibility, but only on this, like, shallow level. And he's kind of like, can you forgive me now so we can, like, go back to being normal? So you have a feeling it's like, this is what they do all the damn time.
Yeah. But what's different this day more than any other day?
Oh, yeah. He's like, so are we okay? And she goes, yeah, we're okay.
And then we see that she's a visual artist, a cartoonist, and she writes, it's not okay. Because she'd been drawing him driving away from her in the car.
Ugh. Yeah.
Just say it's okay.
And you
okay.
learn that she's like a good okay. artist. Like I do love, like I actually think that the stuff they make for her, like the show designed for her is actually very good in my opinion.
Yeah. Can we get to young, hot Mr. Kelly, Abby?
Oh God. Who's Mr. Kelly?
He's the English teacher who is the same age as all the students in his class.
Yeah, so he basically, like, a 28-year-old talks to these 26-year-olds about Hemingway. So he basically gives them the absolute worst assignment he could give to a group of high school students. Yeah. I'm, like, looking at him like, dude, you are walking into a bear trap. Like, a bear trap? I don't know if that's a thing. But like, this is, like, the worst part. Like, you know, not to go into my life, but I'm spending grad school, like, talking about, like, the ethics of facilitating groups and the ethics of education. And this is, like, the biggest red flag activity that I can think of. So he's like, Hemingway was really good at saying a lot with very little. So we're going to do that now. Peyton, can you – so bad. Peyton, can you describe Lucas in one word? What? And she says, choke, because he messed up. And then he's like, okay, Lucas, can you describe Peyton? I'm like, yeah, she just said choke. Like, let's have the guy get to retaliate. And he says, lonely. And they share a knowing glance.
And he's then sitting Nathan, right behind, guess who?
Big bro Nate, or little bro Nate. And Nathan goes, I've got a word to describe Lucas. And this is when Mr. Kelly should say, I'm not interested in hearing your word. I would love to move on from this horrible activity. But instead, Nathan goes, bastard.
There's a pregnant pause where Mr. Kelly could have stepped in. You didn't have to call on him.
I barely was paying attention to like the actual plot of the scene because I was just thinking about how bad of a teacher Mr. Kelly is. But so Lucas, kind of in a, you know, in an uncharacteristic fashion, attacks Nathan, and they get in a physical altercation.
Would you say in that scene that it felt like he was possessed? Do you feel like it was as if he was controlled by like a force outside of his control?
I wouldn't say he was possessed, but before he tackles Nathan, his eyes do go white.
Right, yeah. This could be the curse. Could be anything, but it could be Dan's curse.
Yeah, it could be anything, but his eyes did disappear. So then, yeah, it cuts to commercial break, thank God, or that could have been a really bad fight. Get it? Mm-hmm. Anyway, we cut back from commercial, and Luke is in Whitey's office. I actually didn't write it. I just wrote that Whitey was mad at Luke. I think he just gives him, like, a 10-second lecture.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of, like, it's Whitey putting more pressure on Luke here, too. It's him being like, you're filling 6 slots. You need to step it up. Yeah.
You need to have, like, you need to grow 6 pairs of limbs by next game. Or you're off the team.
And he doesn't, like, threaten him. You need to be the bigger man in this situation.
Yeah,
you need to physically. Because you're taking the place of 6 men.
So then Nathan's in the locker room telling the story of the fight, but he's making it sound like he won. And this is when we really get to meet Jake Jagowski. I did have a big old crush on Jake at some point in my life. So he basically calls bullshit on Nathan's story. He's like, what I think is that you lost that fight and that you're a big, big dum-dum, is what he says.
And we see poor man Zac Efron being like, like laughing at it too, you know? He enjoys, they all enjoy seeing Nathan taken down a notch, I think.
Yeah, just taken down a notch. In this moment, you're kind of like, oh, does Lucas have an ally on the team, perhaps? Someone watching his back a bit. That's that entire scene. Then Whitey comes in, and this is when he says one of those, you know, really charming lines.
Coach Whitey.
Coach Whitey. And he comes in and he goes, hey, Jagowski, you need more time to put your pumps and your skirt on, or you're going to come play basketball. Because I guess if you take a long time to get ready, that you're a woman.
I laughed out loud. I think that's a fod.
Funniest joke of the episode. Pumps and skirt. But he's a boy. Come on, put on your pumps and your skirt.
That's
pretty good.
That's for our other podcast where we do impressions of the whole thing.
Put on your pumps and your skirt. Yeah, and Jake Jagowski's kind of like, okay, coach. So then we cut to Haley and Luke. They're on the rooftop mini golf. We talked about how the roof is a cool mini golf court.
There's a little bit more sexual tension with her in this episode.
There was a little
even
bit
more, which I definitely picked up on because I'm all alone.
Oh god,
playing mini golf by myself.
Is that innuendo?
Nah.
Yeah, because it wouldn't be playing mini golf, am I right? Playing Magnum golf.
Aw, thanks.
Oh, God. Let's not tell our parents that we do this.
The secret podcast.
Yeah. It feels like Haley's, like, so funny and silly, but also very, very smart.
Yeah, I really love her. Yeah.
But his big thing is, like, he just wants to go back. He wants things to go back to what they were before.
And when he said that, I had a moment of being like, was everything between you? Like when you said, go back the way they were. Because I see a flicker in her eye. I see a flicker in her eye.
Yeah. And the flicker might also be like this idea of like, back to when it was us against Dink and Flicka. But when it was just the two of them, you know, now they're alone in their little world and they're not alone anymore. Okay, I'm going to go pee. Edit this out. Thank you.
All right, a little pee break.
Lucas is about to have the same conversation with every single person in his life, including Jake Jagowski, his new friend. But first, this is when he has the same conversation he just had with Haley, but with Keith. So they're at the car repair? The
tow company, right?
Tow
company. They do everything.
Auto repair. I think it says Scott's Auto Repair on his sweater. So it's like, it really is the exact same conversation where Keith and Luke, Keith is like, don't give up. Everyone messes up. And Luke is like, I'm a phony. And that's really it.
Yeah,
Keith. That's my Lucas impression.
Well, Keith says Michael Jordan messed up in his first game. And Luke says, no, he didn't. That's a lie.
And they get in a physical altercation again.
Yeah.
Because once he tastes blood, he can't stop. Once he pops, he can't stop.
Well, the spell is compounding itself. So basically.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get serious, though. Do you think you're Peyton? Are you a Peyton in this situation?
I'm probably,
by this situation,
yeah,
this show.
When I think of, Linda, in a lot of ways, I wasn't at all. But in other ways, I do feel like I sometimes had that dynamic with my friends where I was kind of like the dark horse of the friends or the black sheep, just like a little, like in a world where I know the world and I get the world. But at the same time, I don't feel like I belong in the world. But it was definitely not cheerleading. So, and I was a horrible drawer. And not particularly beautiful. So there you
go. Let's just keep going. We can talk about all this stuff later. From that. The dark sheep.
Let's keep going. The dark sheep. The black sheep. Didn't I say the dark horse? The black sheep.
I know,
the black horse.
I'm smushing him.
Yeah, that's okay. Crap. So then Lucas is talking to Keith. And then Keith walks away in their work on Peyton's car. And in the back seat, he sees this portfolio of all these comics that she'd made. And they're all about not belonging in high school.
And having meaningless sex with a faceless jock.
Yeah, it's really rough.
Really funny comic.
Yeah, hilarious.
Yeah, no.
And she sees him and just destroys him verbally. There's just venom coming out of her mouth as she screams at him. Rightfully so.
He's kind of into it when she leaves.
He was into it. And no, that's the thing. That he crossed the line. That's messed up that he looked at her stuff.
I do think though, it was among the garbage. That's why it feels like it's okay to me. It was
I don't think it's okay. I think it's forgivable. I don't think it's okay.
Not okay, but it's they cleaned up her car. He was cleaning it up. He opened it. He looked inside. He realized. But then he started meddling.
Yeah, he definitely meddled. Because he didn't need to open it. And I think that's maybe when we see her vulnerable, more vulnerable than we've seen her. So then all the parents are mad about the fight. Everybody's talking about this fight. Mr. Kelly went and narked on everybody. So Dan is mad. So first we see Dan. And so these are the three main things he says in the scene that I think are important to point out. He says, heard you got in a fight. Did you win? Later he asks, did you get hurt? And then when he finds out that it was over Peyton, or kind of because of Nathan's girlfriend, he goes, next time get in a fight about something important. Just sealing his fate as a true villain. Yeah, so he says, did you get hurt? And Nathan says, no, did you?
To which I think the writers could have even gone back and forth a couple more times with that. No,
Did you? No, did you?
Did you get hurt though, Dad? I don't know.
Why would I get hurt? Did you get hurt?
It bounced off of me and six to you.
I'm rubber.
honestly, if
Lucas was swinging at Dan, he would have swung at his own face because he was being possessed by the demon that once possessed Dan.
Oh, so that is actually... That's a little piece of evidence, maybe against the curse.
Yeah. I think another piece of evidence is that Dan is still a bad person. Because wouldn't it maybe if he put the curse on Lucas, wouldn't maybe he'd become a good person?
I think it's like a horcrux in this situation. So it doesn't lessen it. It lessens him, but it's still just as powerful.
When you think about it, children are horcruxes.
And sperm is magic. Is that right?
Yeah, that was really good. And you call sex, Shakespeare called sex the tiny death, and you have to die to create.
That's what I call it. Shakespeare calls it that.
Yeah, you probably got that from him. You have to kill to create a horcrux. I think we're finding something.
I think we're on to not one thing, but a lot of things.
So Karen and Lucas basically get in a fight because he's still mad at her, you know, because she didn't go to the game. But she gives him a lecture about the fight. She's like, you can't go to his level. Like, you know, we're better than them.
Mm-hmm. They go and low, we just, go high. I
think yeah, she says that. That's what she says. Yeah, she says that word for word.
Yeah.
They like, Lucas isn't really listening to her, and she's kind of refusing to tell him the truth about the game, so they both get really mad. But Lucas is kind of the one that steps over the line. It's implied that he does. I really don't remember what he said, because it didn't seem that bad.
He looks at her, and he says, I wish I had an abortion.
I wish you could abort parents.
I wish I could have aborted you when I was a baby inside.
I wish I could have turned your skin inside out and I became the parent and you became the baby.
Yeah, it's really powerful.
So I guess I understand why she was mad at that. And he kind of regrets it, but she's gone. Probably behind the counter to go wait on somebody, give them a muffin. And Peyton, he sees Peyton across the street. Oh, yeah, we haven't said the name of the magazine.
I forgot it. Third.
So she's gonna submit her. Yeah, so she's gonna submit her drawings to Thud magazine, which is conveniently right across the street from the cafe. And before she goes in, she
very dramatically decides not to go in.
Yeah, by herself, and she throws out her portfolio in the trash. But then, you know, because he really was listening to her when she said, leave me alone and respect my privacy, he walks up and takes the portfolio from the trash can.
I would counter that he was really listening to her in the car when she said, I'm trying to be myself and I'm not actually a cheerleader. And he saw the comics and realized that that was her being herself. So I think maybe he was being...
Yeah, but is it his right to...
Absolutely not. No, he crossed the line.
Great. Let's move on while I've won that argument. No, but I get, like, it's all coming from a good... I mean, it's coming from a place of him being deeply into her. But it's... I think it's one of those things seen as, like, a romantic gesture. But in real life, it would be like, yeah, but that's kind of messed up. So then Karen and Luke, it's the next morning... And Karen and Luke are on their porch swing, both wearing their gym jams.
It's incredibly sweet. It's like an idyllic life. It made me like want to go out on my porch right now.
Yeah, it made me wish that one of my parents were dead.
Which one? Oh, God. I know.
Isn't that kind of what you think about? I guess his parent isn't dead. But like when I watch Gilmore Girls, sometimes I'm like, God, I wish I had only one parent. God, I really wish one of my parents were not in the picture. But they both basically apologize, and they have a very sweet conversation, and he's just a very good son, and she's a very good mom.
They have a jinx moment. Like,
they joke around. Yeah, they have a jinx moment. Nice,
yeah.
But he does punch her right in the shoulder. Jinx.
That's how you jinx.
I guess that's how you jinx.
Yeah, that's how you jinx.
He punches in the shoulder, and her shoulder breaks. And they go to the hospital.
What does he punch her in?
The shoulder.
Shoulder. Jinx.
You didn't even do it well.
You didn't even do it well.
Shoulder.
Shoulder.
He punches her in. Punch her in
the shoulder.
The shoulder.
The shoulder. Jinx. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Let's get back to Jake.
That's it for that. Dan. Oh, no. This is when he tells the story. The state championship story.
Oh, it's horrible. They're jogging. So they're going for their run. Him.
Yeah. That detail is important. Because as he's saying this, he's like pulling on his son's arms. Oh, sports sometimes are so funny to me. Like manly things, like masculine, like of like, yeah, we're working out, but it's just like so to me very like to like I think it's like feminine and that's a good thing. But I just like love it's like, come on, man, like let me hug you for a second and really stretch you out. Okay. So basically we find out that when – this is a story that everybody in town knows. Dan played for Whitey and at the state championship
– It's crazy.
Whitey benches Dan for disobeying his like orders. I don't know if that's what you call them for coach, but he disobeys his orders, benches Dan, and they lose the championship. But Dan is like, that's not the real story. And I honestly can't tell you which version makes Dan look worse. I guess the one he tells, but he's trying to say it like, okay, so it's like he's like, no, this is a real story. And the real story is like way worse than the original. So Dan disobeys Whitey. Whitey gives him a lecture. So then Dan, as like, I don't know, to teach Whitey a lesson, he sits out. He sits out on purpose, and then they lose. And that to him, that was a victory because it proved that he was the best on the team. But they lose.
Does he
and
go
there
to
were
good-
scouts there.
Does he go to a good college, or does it not work
we
out?
We don't know.
We'll find out.
Well, later. We do know that he went to play basketball at a college.
Right.
We know that.
Because he left Karen.
Yeah, so Karen admits she can't go back to the gym, but she does. But she's like, it's hard for me to go back to the gym because like that is where your dad left me and said, I'm going to go play basketball and without you. So that's where they had the big breakup. So that story, thoughts on that horrible story?
I mean, you know how I feel, right? At this point in the recap.
If you don't know how I feel about Dan now, you never will.
No, it's horrible. And you see him giving horrible advice. And you really see like how, I think... Especially, you know, we see him later going into Whitey's office and we realize that he's actually the one who isn't letting go, and it's manifesting differently for him, because both he and Karen aren't letting go. They both need to. But Karen does by the end of the episode, and she goes back to the gym, but it's going to take a lot more for him to, he still thinks it's all about him.
Yeah. And he just has so much anger.
He never learned that lesson. Yeah.
Yeah, not good. Bad dad. So this is the Jagowski library scene.
You read a lot, huh?
And Lucas is like, yeah, I do.
Yeah, I do.
Thanks for noticing, man.
Oh, you mean my books?
My book? You mean the book I put in my locker?
Oh, that's just...
My prop.
That's just something I've been reading, so I guess, yeah.
And this is when he kind of gives him a hint that he's on Luke's side, and then he gives him Atlas Shrugged.
Which is, you see the cover, and it's just like such a crazy moment.
Yeah. And he says, what does he say to him? Don't let them take it.
Don't let them take it. Yeah.
And then he's like, my book? Luke's like, take what? Or what do you mean? He's like, you'll know.
You'll know. Read this. Read the book. Incredibly dense.
Yeah. Just, yeah. What a book. What a book to give somebody that you've like, he's literally like, he gives him the book. He's like, I'm Jake, by the way. Here's Atlas Shrugged. But hey, I'm Jake. That's their scene. So let me go back to Mr. Kelly and
okay, let's try this again.
He has adjusted. It is a much better assignment.
Okay, where were we?
I've had a whole day to rethink my lesson plan, and this is what I came up with. So he gives them a note card each, and he says, write in one word, because he's just really obsessed with that concept, write in one word what you most want right now in your life. That'll come back later.
That'll be funny later.
That'll be super funny later. Peyton shows up to get her car, and Lucas is working. She's like, oh, not at basketball practice. And I guess she's not at cheerleading practice, because we learned from the pilot that they all practice at the same time.
Thank you.
Thank you. But Lucas gives Peyton her portfolio, and she's like, are you stalking me? Like, what the heck? Which, again, a little weird that he got them from the garbage. And he asks her, like, this scene, I love this. So he asks her, like, why didn't you submit your drawings? And she basically goes into a great big monologue about, you know, she wants to draw something meaningful something that will mean something to people, something that will like change someone's life. And she says, if I can't be great at it, then I don't want to ruin it. It's too important to me. And there's a pregnant pause. And Lucas goes, yeah. And she's like, what do you mean, yeah? And he goes, me too. And you realize in that moment that they're going through the exact same thing and that they both finally have like words for it.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is when we finally get to see what those little kids wrote on their note cards about what they want most in the world. So we find out that Peyton wants the truth. And when you see that, then you see her in her room and she tears down all of her art from her walls angrily. And then we find out that Nathan
at that point, it's like,
wants revenge.
You should report that kid.
Yeah. It's anonymous.
But then Mr.
though.
Kelly's like,
but if you see revenge. If you're like, some kid wants revenge? On whom? For what?
Yeah, it's really serious.
Yeah. Mr. Kelly.
Yeah, well, he graduated.
You know, he's a young teacher. He has a lot to learn. Yeah. Yeah. And then Luke wants answers, which is very close to truth. And Luke is supposed to be the, like, you know, the intellectual, like, writer, reader. And I just think that answers is not a very good
word. Do you almost feel like it's a word
in general
that feels more at home in someone else's mind, as if it's being projected?
Yeah, right. And
there's also
the
fact that you
he wrote it in blood.
It's sticking to the back of revenge.
Just covered in blood. So then this is maybe my only moment of Nathan in Peyton that I really enjoy. And that's Peyton is lying on her bed, like reading a magazine or something. And Nathan's just painting toenails. Just inexplicably painting her toenails, which I'm super into. And he says he thinks about quitting. He's like, I think I might quit. And he's really sincere about it. And Peyton is immediately like, yes, let's do it. Let's, you and me, I'll quit cheerleading. The two of us can just like figure it out on our own. Like, we don't need to be in this world anymore. And he like does just the cruelest thing where he looks at her and he laughs and he's like, yeah, right. Like, I'm ever going to do that. And then he leaves. Like, dream blue balls. He's like, oh, I want that dream too. Tickle, tickle. And then pulls away. Yeah. those dibbas. Dibbas. Okay, and then Lucas is looking through Peyton's comics again. And he sees one that we could talk for hours about. It is loaded. So I'm just going to try to describe it in an unbiased fashion. So it's, you know, probably like a five rows of faceless male figures with short, dark hair. And like they have faces, they have like heads, but like no faces, and they're all wearing the same thing. And then kind of in the bottom corner, like the second to last row, you see a faceless male figure who's the same as everyone else, except has lighter colored hair.
Everyone else is black and white.
Maybe
it's
different,
the only little spot
shirt
of color.
I'm not sure. It's the only spot of color, but it has light hair. And then, at the top, it just says, they are not you. And we have to ask ourselves, is the you?
I think
Luke?
It could be listeners. Because the thing is, if she was talking about herself, why the boys? Why all the boys?
Why all the boys? Because, yeah, it's not like there is, it's not just like faceless people. Like, it's clearly like faceless boys. So, and it is a blonde guy, not a brunette.
Yeah.
So we don't know. And he looks at that one for a while. Yeah, and then Karen comes in. And you basically, like, she's like, you know, you've always loved the game and you quit because of Dan. Like, why'd you quit? And I think this is a great Chad Michael Murray acting moment, which are few and far between. But he tears up, but doesn't cry. his they well. And he goes, like, I didn't want to be like him. Like, I, and when I was out on that court, I felt like he owned a piece of me. I never felt that way on the playground. And then Karen says, do you remember?
You don't owe him anything. No.
She says, he's taken enough from us already.
And then we have our first of what will, I think, become an iconic moment in One Tree Hill.
Oh, yeah. So, this is the first time it's happened. It's going to happen a lot in the future where they end their conversation. Their conversation comes to a close. Karen turns to leave the room. Once she's at the door,
Mom.
Luke calls out, Mom? Thanks. She turns around and he says,
it's really good. So take out your One Tree Hill workbook. Look out for more of that. And make a tally mark in the first section.
Yeah. And then come up with one word to describe
Abby or Will.
How you felt. Wait, this next scene I didn't think was a big deal, but now I'm thinking it's
the climax.
It's the biggest scene of the show. Dan and Luke, so Lucas is walking through the hallway and Dan again calls out, son.
What word did I say? Broken.
Is broken. That is so good. I know what I'm talking
about.
This is so good. So he breaks the curse, and this is the first time that we see the two of them have like a face-to-face interaction. They've been in the same room together, but like they've never like talked to each other. And Dan hands Lucas Nathan's bag.
And it immediately dispels all the sexual tension. It's like,
can you give this to my boy?
It's just like gone.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a really sexy scene until then. But he says, would you give this to my boy? He doesn't say son. Would you give this to my boy?
He doesn't bring it back.
Or he breaks the curse. He doesn't bring back the curse. And then Jake saw that, which would be very awkward, but he seems to be pretty chill about it. And Jake says, don't let them take it again, which I think is from Atlas Shrugged. And then he goes, your talent. Don't let them take your talent. And he takes the bag from Lucas, so then Lucas doesn't have to have the humiliation of handing that bag.
If I was Lucas, to Nathan, I would have filled the bag with toilet paper. And I would have said...
Yeah, I would have filled it with birds.
You got bird rolls.
Somebody opens it up, birds fly out. You got birds on your face. Hey, man, there's something on your face. He opens up his bag.
You got birds.
It's birds. You got birded. You got birded. Okay, so this is when the voiceover starts. And I can't write. Maybe I should next time write it all down. It's just so much
underneath
words. The kind of irrelevant. So it starts with "Don't let your fire go out," which makes me think it's not from Hemingway. It makes me think it's from Atlas Shrugged, but I could be wrong. But it's "Don't let your fire go out." Do not let, and then blank, 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 and it says, "Do not let."
We should have One Tree Hill book club. So right now it's Atlas Shrugged.
We have to read.
That's the second one. What's the first one? Shakespeare? Yeah.
So Lucas looks down at his jersey that says Scott on it. And then we hear the voiceover. Everyone's running out to the court. And then Lucas gets out on the court and he goes up to Peyton and he's like, hey. She looks up. He goes, your art matters. It's what got me here. And then he sees Dan and they have a very pregnant look at each other. It's a very pregnant look. And then Lucas turns around and you see that he's taken the Scott off of his jersey and it's just like a black like patch. And he's not going to wear a name on his jersey. And then it cuts.
You see the name Scott drifting to the floor. Superimposed.
Oh, yeah. I did hate that, so I just didn't mention it. people will complain, yeah.
Well, ask me the question, remember?
So, what do you think, Will?
You wrote it down, the note that you took.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I have to go back to 3 pages ago. How do you feel about basketball?
I wanted to see the game. And it cut, and I was like, more basketball? I wanted to see them play. And I didn't get to. And I can... Close your eyes for a second. If you're on the train or cooking dinner, make sure you're in a safe space and put down the tools. Maybe pull over or pull into the driveway and crack the windows, let the breeze come in. Close your eyes. Imagine watching Luke walking out onto the court and not getting to see him play that game and knowing that you have to wait a week. That's exactly the position I'm in right now, because we're probably not going to record another episode for another week or so. No, but it made me really want to.
Another week.
See yeah. some basketball.
That's good. No, I think that's such a good final moment. It's like, oh.
But it works. I'm like, I'm a.
But yeah, you want to see more. There will be more b-ball. There's definitely going to be some more b-ball. Yeah, you're a b-ball boy. You're a big old b-ball boy. B-ball blue boy. Did they give you blue basketballs? They gave you some blue basketballs. All right, well, prediction. What is it? Prediction, something you want to have happen, and something.
They got an physical.
You said your prediction came true. Nothing came true.
It wasn't on the court. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but you said it would be on the court, but you got close. That's pretty good. So... Something you want to have happen, something you're afraid will happen, and a prediction.
I'm afraid that something will happen between Lucas and Peyton, and Haley will get hurt. That's my fear. I want Lucas to just swish a half court shot. That's just me wanting more basketball, though. he missed so many.
You just want more basketball in general.
Yeah.
In the very, I don't think he makes one before he's cursed in the whole episode.
And then my prediction is that
okay,
the book that Lucas will learn from in episode 3 will be Holes by Louis Sekar. So tune in next week and we'll see what happens. Thanks for listening to One Tree Will. We have fun doing it and we hope you have fun listening to it. I'm Will.
I'm Abby. And just remember,
your art matters. It's what got me here.
I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. All I have to do is think of me and I have peace of mind. I'm tired of looking around rooms, wondering where I'm gonna do or who I'm supposed to be. I don't wanna be anything other than me.